wherewith shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before the high God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves of a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams or with 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He hath showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. The Lord's voice crieth unto the city, and the man of wisdom shall see thy name. Hear ye the rod, and who hath appointed it? This is the word of the Lord, and he will most certainly add his abundant and gracious blessing to the reading of his holy truth. And let us pray. Our Father and God, creator of all things, our great Redeemer, and in the Son's name, Jesus Christ, our Redeemer and Savior, our great God and friend, in his name we come before you, Lord, and ask you to minister unto us the truth of your word. Speak unto our hearts its reality. We pray, Lord God, that you are glorified in it, and that Christ is exalted forevermore by it, and that your people, Lord, will find that anchor of faith in obedience to your truth in Christ, our rock. And we pray, Father, that you'll meet with us, Father, that your presence will be manifested in a marvelous way among us, and that as we pray today and as we go forth onto the mission field past those double doors, we ask you, Lord, to minister through thy people. Be pleased to minister through us, Lord, to proclaim Christ, to bring the gospel to a dying world, to be an example of the witness of your grace and your truth. In Jesus' name, amen. I was reminded all this week through Micah, because there's such good verses in here, as we were looking at Micah in the Robert Murray McShane Bible Reading Plan, and the providence of God is so good that we would come to this, because I was reminded of Dean Olive this last August. He was here, and he said something very, very prominent to my hearing when he preached from this pulpit. He said that long ago when he was young, that he was given the counsel to preach from great texts. And that stuck with me. And I am so blessed, because there is a great text before us today, Micah chapter 6, verse 8. He hath showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. What a tremendous text that is. If there is a great text, that is a great text. That is a blessed text, and I'm so glad it is before us today. Because Micah, he is a prophet in the days of Hezekiah that's spoken of in Micah chapter 1 and verse 1. He's a contemporary of Isaiah, though his prophecies came a little later than Isaiah's prophecies. He was still a contemporary of that particular time. And many of the commentators speak of Micah's prophecies as being very similar to those of Isaiah, certainly more condensed, but the gist of his prophecies being very much like those of Isaiah. And that gives us an indication of the times that the prophets spoke in the days of Micah, in the days of Isaiah, in the days of Hezekiah. But let us focus on the main text, the main verse, which is verse 8. He hath showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. One of the very first verses that I was privileged by the Lord and his grace to memorize, because in Hawaii we sang it as a song. And many of you are probably familiar with that tune that this is sung to. But we notice that as it starts off first, the first point we look at is a devotion. Though I don't get to preach a great text, we can devote ourselves unto it to see what the Lord has for us. He hath showed thee, O man, and we find out that as he has shown us, that it is not a hidden thing that God has shown us. It is quite plain. But moreover, God hath shown us. It is God that has given it to us. It is a revelation which tells us that in the worship of God, it is not man's invention. It is God's revelation. God condescends. He comes down. He bows in his greatness. He bows himself in condescension to a people that are fallen in order to show us, to show man, fallen man, what is required of worship. He hath showed thee, O man. The second thing we see is from the text is he hath showed thee, O man, what is good. Man must be shown what is good because the fall hath corrupted him so. He is totally depraved and every area of man has been tainted by sin. And so God has shown him what is good. God reveals man's depravity in showing the relationship broken between God and man. The sacrifices of animals and their shed blood, foreshadowing that which would be given in Christ Jesus as the substitute, as that sacrifice and atonement. And that indicates the broken relationship between man and God. Just having that there must be something done. If there was nothing done at all, that would indicate that there is either, cannot be a relationship at all, or there is a relationship that is unfractured. But that man is required to do something that shows that there is a broken relationship. The third point we see is, he hath showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee. And they're listed in the text right here, following the comma. The first one is, but to do justly. The second one is, and to love mercy. And the third one in our text is, and to walk humbly with thy God. The first one is external, because to do is an external thing. It is an action. We see that to do justly, to act righteously, to do those things that are just, to do those things that are righteous, it implies action. The second one is both internal and external, because it speaks of love. To love mercy. To love mercy. It is both internal and external. Why is that? Because in the great commandment of the Bible, it says in Deuteronomy chapter 6, to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and all thy soul and all thy might. The New Testament is a little bit more clear. As Jesus says, to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength. So with heart and soul, or even mind, as it says in the New Testament, those are internal things. But there is also an external expression, even as James tells us, that faith without works is dead, being alone. That there must be, from something that is internal, it must be displayed externally. And so to love mercy shows also an external truth. The third is strictly internal. It is spiritual. To walk humbly with God. The word walk in the Old Testament, from the very beginning, the first time that it is used, we hear of the voice of the Lord right after the fall in Genesis 3 and verse 8. The voice of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day. It's not that he was literally walking. He was figuratively walking because it speaks of that which is spirit. God is spirit. And therefore, he doesn't walk as we would. It's not a term that is used of him walking upright as a man. We also understand this again from Genesis, because in Genesis chapter 17 and verse 1, when Abraham was on the plain of Mamre and the Lord comes to him and the Lord speaks to him and says, I am Almighty God, walk before me and be thou perfect. When he says that to Abraham, he's speaking of a spiritual thing. He's speaking of his behavior. He's speaking of an internal attitude, an attitude of faith. that which was reflected from Genesis 15, that Abraham believed God and it was counted unto him for righteousness. But the third is the key to the first and the second. You see, there are many that can do justly, and they do justly. But they do justly as only an external thing out of the strength of their flesh. You see, Jesus said this, as you all know, that Jesus spoke, that many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? Have we not, in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? Jesus said, depart from me, ye that work iniquity, you that practice lawlessness, I never knew you. These people clearly are doing things externally that people can see that are just, that are righteous, that are good. But they have nothing of Christ in them. It's also, as far as external, many people can love mercy externally without having anything of a heart for mercy and a heart for God. We know that because Jesus, again, in this very same sermon, tells us that if you love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? The wicked love the wicked, and they can show it in very demonstrative ways, casting upon their children and lavishing upon their children great, great gifts, even more than maybe many of us can. But to walk humbly with thy God, what is that? To walk humbly with thy God. To walk humbly recognizes the work of God, and especially, I say most especially, the work of Jesus Christ. But what does this entail? This is how we have to look at walking humbly. And I want to be very clear and concise and deliberate about this, because this is the important part of walking humbly, because it's dangerous. We'll get to that at the very end. But first, it's glorious. To walk humbly with thy God, first, it is glorious because it relates to, because it is spiritual, it is with God. It presents that though there is a fractured relationship, it is with God. Can two walk together lest they be agreed? It presents a fellowship and a communion. But more importantly, because since it is our humility and His great and awesome majesty, it is glorious. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 31 says, Therefore, whatever you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all unto the glory of God. But notice also in our text that it is personal. And to walk humbly with thy God. It is to walk humbly with thy God. It is not impersonal. It is not with a God that you don't know. It is with thy God, and it is a real, true personal relationship and a recognized relationship, just as Thomas was in John chapter 20 in the revelation of the resurrected, the crucified and resurrected Lord. And he said, what did he say? My Lord and my God. What a glorious thing that God also says that it is personal and an intimate personal relationship, because he is personality. And the third thing is that it is revealing. It is revealing, and in its revelation it is a gauge for us to see the kind of humility that it should bring forth in our lives. We see this from texts such as verse 6. Notice it says, wherewith shall I come before the Lord? And bow myself before the high God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves of a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, or with 10,000s of rivers of oil? We'll just stop right there. That's enough, but we can continue on. That the idea that those things, that thousands of rivers of lambs, or of rams, thousands of rams and thousands of rivers of oil will not do anything for that relationship unless that humility comes by faith. It must come by faith. For we do boast in God that when we are walking humbly with God, we do boast in Him, we glory in Him and not in the sacrifices that we bring to Him. I bring thousands of sacrifices and we bring attention unto that is proof that we may not be walking humbly with God. We bring attention to the sacrifice. Just as we're warned again in the last part of Romans in our practical application of the doctrinal truths that we learned in that. But it is also this, it is difficult. Notice this, that it is difficult. To walk humbly is a difficult thing. This is the warning. We must be on guard that when we do walk humbly, we have the flesh, the world, and multitudes of principalities and powers that are waging war against us. And even with an external humility, the one that is shown as if we look humble, internally we may end up falling and failing because we're lifted up in pride. It is a difficult thing and one that must be guarded and protected because we can fail so miserably and so easily within this regard. God makes it so that we can stay with Him in the walk with a perspective that places Christ Jesus at the very forefront of our eyes. That as in that great command to love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your might, that it says that you will take the commandments of God like this, as to walk humbly and make them as frontlets for your eyes. And make them your rising up and your sitting down. And teaching them unto your children in the way. And walking with God and in true humility. Because when we see the sacrifice of Christ, thousands of rams and thousands of rivers of oil do not ever, ever, ever come close to that which is even the least of the affections of the eternal God in Christ Jesus. That is to walk humbly with God. And then to do justly because of the revelation of Christ in that humility. Then to love mercy, to love God's mercy because it's demonstrated. We love mercy because it's first given the measurement of where all mercy originated, and that's in Christ Jesus, who is merciful. His love for those whom He has saved and poured mercy out upon is greater than all things, and therefore we can love mercy. The justice that is in Christ Jesus, in His person as He walked upon the planet as a man filled with the Holy Spirit, and in His sacrifice upon that tree of wood, to be raised again by the Father, by the Son, and by the Holy Spirit, to be alive evermore and to sit at the right hand of the Father, that justice is far greater than we can ever capture, ever. And therefore, because we have that measurement, we look upon that, and by God's grace and with that humility that He pours out upon us, that we walk in faith in that humility, because of His love of mercy, we love when we see mercy and show mercy and desire mercy. And then we love when we see justice and do justice and want justice. Let's go before the Lord in prayer. Oh, Lord, what we pray, Father, that so many times that we are truly not humble. We may have an exterior humility in our shell, but when we're face to face with the blessedness of your word, when we come to thy presence with the truth of that which is illuminated by thy truth, we pray that we might be sanctified, holy, and set apart to truly be humbled. That you will be exalted, that Christ will be exalted, and you will be glorified. Be glorified in your people, Lord, today. Be glorified in the prayers of the saints. And Father, we pray that as you bring us unto thy bosom as we walk in this world, we would be an expectant people looking forward to thy coming and the great glory of all justice, all mercy, and all glory with a humble people surrounding thy throne. In Jesus' name, amen.